The session that you just had the opportunity to listen in on should help us to appreciate how our past experiences can really control our present and future. It's really amazing, isn't it? You know, the human mind is a powerful thing. And in those consultations, I wanted to give you an idea as to how I begin working with someone in the real world with real problems. The next step in working with them is to make sure they follow through on their goals. Every week, as they work on changing their thoughts and feelings, I would have them go back and evaluate their progress on page 4 and or page 5. When we first evaluated these feelings of inadequacy, we might find that we'll have very high numbers representing how much a specific feeling affects our life, maybe an 8 or even a 10. You know that you're progressing when those numbers start going down. So these individuals must do their homework if they're to get great results. Use that evaluation as a measuring rod for your success. Don't forget to go back to page 4 and 5 and evaluate your progress. The goal is to get those numbers to go down. The next thing I would encourage these individuals to follow through on are their new goals. That's one of the best ways to start putting those negative feelings and thoughts behind us. I hope after going through and completing this program that you will start to see your life really improve for the better. This should cause you to want to have the desire to set some goals that you haven't been able to do in the past. Goals such as maybe increasing your income, starting a new relationship. The opportunities are endless. Do you remember in the beginning of the program that I asked you to write down all the negative things that happened to you in your past that might be affecting or controlling your life now? I mentioned to you that at the time not to get too emotional when you write them down because we would deal with that later. Well, this is later. Let's talk about it. I'm not a great big fan of working with someone and having them relive all their negative past experiences. It's obviously very painful. But there are many times when it could be necessary. Sometimes you have a lot of these emotions bottled up inside and they should be released. You know, we spoke earlier about ignoring emotions. I've had people come up to me and say, "Gary, that's not a good thing to do." My response is, "It depends." It depends on how quick you can change the association of your past from negative to positive. Let's go back to the spider phobia as an example. A person is deathly afraid, let's say because for years their family has been throwing spiders on them. And if they try to ignore their emotions without knowing how, they are really just suppressing them. They're trying to force themselves to hold the spider, let's say if that's a goal for them, but the pictures of the past keep haunting them. That's the negative association that they have developed. There's no silly little grin. They haven't determined if they really want to change. And they're doing nothing to really change the negative programming to the brain. All they're doing is biting their tongue, so to speak, and trying to hold on till some type of change happens. It doesn't work that way. Now, I could sit with them and get them to relive their past, and if they're really, really phobic, they'll probably start crying, and when they start telling me about how people threw spiders on them, it gets worse and worse, and they'll start painting all these pictures and telling all these stories. And in reality, when they relive that experience or story, they're digging their what? Yeah, they're digging their grave deeper and deeper. But if I can get them to do all 4 of their pages and train the nervous system first, different outcome now, isn't it? When they think of the spider, they now have a new positive association to it. They've developed that in literally minutes. Oh, it's soft. It's no problem. It's not that bad. I'm in control of my mind and emotions. This way, they are playing games with their mind instead of their mind playing games with them. Now, to tell a person to ignore their negative feelings or emotions without teaching them first how to is really useless and can actually be damaging. It can make the phobia or the condition or the negative feelings worse. Now, I'll give you some examples of specific cases that I might encourage the person to relive the past and let it out. If a person just doesn't seem to be able to move on with life due to maybe a past trauma, a situation where there has really been not much time for healing, a rape case, even a traumatic divorce, sexual abuse. And with the cases that you heard in the program, I didn't find a need to really go through this exercise and have these people relive their past. They have already gone through this letting go of the anger type therapy. Now, if it was done wrong or didn't help them, I would strongly consider having them go through their emotions and reliving some of the past and letting it all out. Now, sometimes people ask me, "Gary, what do you mean if it was done wrong?" Well, if a person is still at step one and they've been in therapy for, you know, years and they're still at first base and they haven't moved forward and they haven't gone on and they're still living in the past, maybe something isn't clicking, something isn't right. So we might want to start again from scratch with them. Now, I do want to at least let you know that there are some more available options other than the four-page process that we've been working on. The next segment is more for healing. I think it's a step before an individual takes before they move on. The process that I've been sharing with you up until this point can, though, help you heal, change your behavior, and allow you to move on all at the same time. So let's talk about page 14 in your workbook. Meet me there. Page 14, some more healing. Now, this segment is designed to help you get some of that negative trash out of your system. It's a type of mental cleansing, if you will. You'll have to determine if you think this will be good for you. Step one. See where I'm at there? Step one. Have someone assume the role of the person who hurt you, the offender. You may consider having a support person right beside you if you feel that this session will be very emotional. Now, what we're going to do is confront our offender and let them know how we really feel. But you're not going to actually confront the real offender. You're going to find someone who will be willing to play the part. The question that I'm often asked here is, could you do this exercise with the real offender? Well, yes and no. I don't usually recommend it unless the offender absolutely accepts full and all responsibility for his or her actions and is truly, I repeat, and is truly remorseful and sorry, making no excuses for their behavior. They must also understand that if they are to agree to this session, that they're going to be attacked verbally, and the possibility could even exist of being physically attacked, which of course would not be recommended, but the possibility does exist. Additionally, the offender must not, and again I repeat, must not respond in any way and speak to the person who they've been hurting during this step. Step one is not designed for the offender to speak. It's for the person wanting to move on. And it goes without saying that this exercise will be more effective if the person who is hurt wants to really change and move on. Perhaps you don't know the offender. You don't know who he is, or maybe you can't even find them, or maybe they're even dead. This is where you will find a friend, and this friend will take the position of the offender. You're going to role play. When speaking your mind, though, to the role-playing offender, you obviously don't use your friend's name who's playing the role of the offender. You use the offender's name if you know it. Now, I recommend that you have another friend sit by your side as you begin step two if you feel that this is going to be very, very emotional for you. You want support. You may need someone to hold your hand, to give you a hug. You may even need someone to hand you a couple tissues. Now keep in mind, too, that some people use their past problems as crutches. For some, they have a difficult time seeing themselves as being happy or, quote, normal. For you to move on, you must be convinced that you have to let go of the past. No more excuses, no more crutches. Step two. Express in great detail to the offender how he or she has hurt you. Share your pain and your anger. Don't hold back. Again, express in great detail to the offender how he or she has hurt you. Share your pain and anger. Don't hold back. This is the time that you want to really let it out. This is when the tears will probably really start to flow. Tell them how they have hurt you. Let it all hang out. Try not to get too ballistic, but let it out. Some people start getting very angry. If you feel that you would be prone to doing that, make sure the friend sitting beside you, your coach, is aware of that. You want them to prevent you from beating up your other friend, the one that's pretending to be the offender. If the actual offender is there, you really don't, even though you feel like you should, you really don't want to beat on them. Use a pillow. Keep it verbal with the offender. And your coach, the person sitting beside you, is really going to protect both of you. Obviously, if it's going to be a very violent type of situation, you would not have the real offender there. Common sense tells us that. Now, if you were to come to me and have me work with you face-to-face in my office, before we start this, I would ask you if you are sure you want to move on. I want this to be the very last time you really let it all out like this. Why? Because we both know it's going to be very emotional and painful. Why go through all this pain? If you're not really committed to getting this out and putting it behind you and moving on, if you're still going to keep crying and moping about it again and again and again in the future, we want to get it out now, once and for all. Now, that's not to say that we're not going to have bad days after this. I do still from time to time, and that's just part of being human. What we choose to do while we are having one of those bad days is what separates the men from the boys. Technically, step two is going to cause you to regress a bit, won't it? You're going to actually relive things all over again. If we're going to do that, we want to make sure we have a real good reason for doing that, and we want to do it once and for all and make it the very last time. I would also ask you if you've been on or are in therapy now, and if your therapist has had you do something like this, where it's really brought you to tears and you kind of dumped, so to speak. If so, and it's helped you, I'd rather not have to go through this all over again. Why have you relived this? Why have it possibly caused your nervous system to regress? You don't want to paint all these negative pictures all over again. Step three on page 14. After expressing yourself and letting it out, see if it is possible to forgive the offender. If not, at least commit to putting this behind you once or for all. Make a conscious effort to move on with your life, and how do we do that? For starters, by applying the information that you've learned from this program. So now we've let it all out. Can you forgive the offender? I didn't say forgive and forget. See, some people think you have to forgive and forget. I don't know where people get that from. I can forgive the man who murdered my father, but how in the world am I going to forget that? There isn't a day that goes by that I don't think about him. Not one day. I believe that we can forgive and not forget. So can you forgive the offender? If you can, after you have let him have it on step two, then we go to step four. Step four. Tell the offender that you forgive him or her if you actually will or can. If you can't at present and your goal is to try to forgive them but you need more time, then tell them that also. If you can neither forgive them or try to forgive them in the future, then your session is over unless you choose to continue with step five. Step five. If you're not talking to the actual offender, the one playing the role, have them tell you that they are sorry that they have hurt you. Have them admit that they were wrong and anything that you might find helpful. Now, of course, you would plan all this before you start with step one. If you feel, depending on your case, though, that this wouldn't benefit you, then don't do it. If you think that the real offender is not sorry, you don't even know who they are, then this might seem very fake to you to have your pretend offender tell you that they're sorry. If you think that that would be true in your case, then don't even bother with it. I wouldn't do it if I was doing this with someone who was playing the role of my father's murderer. Sure, you're sorry. Yeah. If I was doing this with the real murderer, I might consider it. Now, if you're working with the actual offender, then this is when they will speak. Not when they will have their say. They are not there by any means to defend themselves. They only speak to say how sorry they really are. The actual offender is not to be used in this entire scenario if they don't plan to truly say they are sorry. They must, I repeat, they must agree not to make excuses and say anything that would upset you. If you think this possibility exists, don't even risk using the real offender. Just wrap it up and call it a day. Now, if you think the real offender would be willing to participate before you begin with these steps, you and or your coach would approach the offender and ask them if they'd be willing to participate, but only under the restrictions which we have discussed. I repeat, only under the restrictions that we have discussed. Explain to them the sole purpose of this, and the sole purpose of this is for you and you only. That's it. You might want to have them listen to this section of your program, then they can make a decision either way. Another thing that some people do, instead of going through all this, for some people, it's healing for them just to write the pain down. Then after transferring all the pain to paper, they'll eventually discard the paper. Maybe they'll put it in a shredding machine or throw it in a fireplace. I know of one particular case of a lady who was raped, and years later, the offender died. And what she did as a healing process, she sent him a letter to his old address or his last address, knowing that he would never get it, never read it. But for her, it was a healing process and it helped her. So there's a number of different ways that we can do this. Well, we're getting close to finishing up the program. I would like to share with you some additional thoughts, and then we will wrap up with a review just to make sure you understand everything. In helping people grow personally and teaching them ways to really move on, I've found that there are certain questions that we have a tendency to really ask. Some positive, some negative. We're going to talk about some of the negative ones. Unfortunately, those negative ones really rob us of our happiness. Let me share some of them with you so you don't get caught asking them, even though you probably already have. I know I have. Meet me on page 15 where we read the statement, "Don't get caught asking these questions." Fill in the blanks for the first one. You ready? Don't waste your time asking why. You know the answer, me. Put the word me in there. Why me? What is asking why me going to really do for you? I mean, seriously, do you really expect a soothing answer? Asking why me isn't going to give you relief. And while you're at it, don't get caught saying, "This isn't fair. Life isn't fair." Things are going to happen to us. Some are fault and many others not. Someone once said that expecting the world and the people in it to treat you fairly is like expecting a bull not to gore you because you're vegetarian. Don't let why me rent space in your head. The second question not to ask is, and fill in the blanks, how could you have done this? Or how could you have done this to me? That's a dumb one. Sorry, but it is. You know, my first wife cheated on me for 3 years with a 15-year-old kid. And if that doesn't flatten your ego and everything else for that matter, what does? Now, what am I going to say to her? How could you have done this to me? Stop and think about it. Whatever answer she conjures up, do you think it's really going to make me feel better? Oh, I don't know, sweetheart. I was just bored. It was just something to do. And I'm supposed to say, "Oh, honey, I didn't know you felt that way. You should have told me. I would have just given you my blessing." Hogwash, give me a break. Stop and think about the times you've said that to someone. How could you have done this to me? Did it do you any good? I would seriously doubt it. Don't let this question rent space in your head either. On to our third stupid question, and I don't mean to sound cynical, well maybe I do, and I'm not making light of this, seriously I'm not. I just want you to understand that there are definite things that we do that don't help us move on. Asking these questions are some of them. The next one, fill in the blanks, why did you do this? Why did you do this? Or why did you do this to me? Don't ask it. Do you really expect a great answer? I have seen people ruin their lives because someone wronged them, and they won't stop until they try to find out why the person who wronged them wronged them. Life's too short. It would be like me confronting the person who murdered my father and said to them, "Hey you, why did you do this?" "Oh, I don't know. I guess I wanted some extra cash, man." "Oh, I see. I didn't know that. Thanks for telling me that, Mr. Murderer. I feel so much better now." You with me on this? Remember, why me? How could you have done this? And why did you do this to me? Don't give us relief. Don't waste your time and let these questions rent space in your head. Now, I think perception plays a very important role in our happiness. And I'll share with you how I finally came to realize that and how much it can control our emotions. For the good and the bad. I could remember when someone would say something to me, whatever it was, and it really bothered me, even though they didn't even know it did. Then, maybe a week later, the same person says the same thing and it doesn't faze me. You know, it's like water running off a duck's back. Here I experience the same communication, but I respond in two entirely different ways. I learned three things then. Number one, it was my problem. Number two, it was my problem. And you guess what the third one was? Yes, my problem. I internalized the same words differently. One time it doesn't seem to affect me, the other I'm a basket case because of it. Fill in the blanks with me next. When someone says something that hurts you, view it as your problem. I'll repeat it again. When someone says something that hurts you, view it as your problem. Interesting. When you master the ability to change your thought process, you will find that you are not going to take things so personally. Remember, when someone says something that hurts you, view it as your problem. When you're able to do that, I think you'll be very impressed as to how quick you can move on and move ahead. And you will find that so many things that people, when they say things to you, you won't become so sensitive to them. Fill in the next sentence on page 15, where you see the words, in the strictest sense. In the strictest sense, other people don't hurt me. I allow them to. In the strictest sense, other people don't hurt me. I allow them to. This can be a tough statement for some to swallow. What's the advantage of believing this, though? Well, what's the disadvantage of not believing that other people don't hurt you? You allow them to. If you don't believe this, you can never have control over your emotions and happiness. It's a perception. We can allow what other people say to hurt us or have the choice not to have what they say hurt us. You know, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a good one that we were taught when we were young. But if we could only have believed it, what an advantage, huh? Here's one of the greatest advantages you'll find, I think, with this program. Before starting your program, let's say you had a lot of feelings of inadequacies, which in turn cause you to be very sensitive, overly sensitive. You may have tried everything so as not to be so sensitive, but nothing seemed to work. Or maybe you have allowed these feelings to limit you so much that you were afraid to try new things and new risks for fear that you may not be able to handle any of the unforeseen outcomes. Many times you will find that if you don't deal with the past and these limited thoughts, no matter how hard you try to change, you just can't make things work. This program, obviously, I think you would agree, shows you how to deal with these matters, and it shows you how to assist in getting over them. What an advantage. You will observe that the things that used to bother you no longer will. When I work with individuals who are really working hard to moving on, often I find they still have one major challenge, and that problem can be with guilt. Let's discuss that for a moment. Maybe you've done something to yourself or to someone else and you're still plagued with that feeling of guilt. Well, what would be the ultimate goal for you? It would be to rid yourself of the guilty feeling, right? We obviously can't change the past and what's done is done. The next thought in your workbook might be the key to your answer on what to do. The following statement is a lot easier said than done, but let's give it a try. When all else fails, you found that there? When all else fails, learn to accept things for the way they are. If a person who is plagued with guilt could learn to accept the fact that they can't change the past, the guilt could subside. We didn't include "I feel guilty" as one of our feelings of inadequacy, did we? My question to you is that a limited thought or a limited feeling? Absolutely. Why not change this feeling and this behavior with your 4-page process? To accept our past and no longer allow the guilt to plague us means to do what? How does one show that they have moved on and no longer allow the guilt to bother them? They would have specific thoughts and actions. They would move forward. They would be able to apply their page 2, the empowering beliefs, with the new empowering behaviors that match them. Applying page 2 says that you have accepted what's happened and what you have done in the past and moved on. The next thought that we're going to fill in the blanks is, if I am bothered, with me there on page 15, if I am bothered by feelings of guilt because of things I've done in the past, I must forgive myself. I must forgive myself. Think about that. When you truly forgive someone who's wronged you, do you constantly keep throwing it in their face? Not if you've truly forgiven them. So then, if you truly forgive yourself, how do you show that you have? Our next sentence on page 15 will answer that. Fill in the blanks. I demonstrate the level of my forgiveness by my ability to move on. I demonstrate the level of my forgiveness by my ability to move on. So you'd have to demonstrate the level of your forgiveness by your ability to move on. Your level of moving on is then directly related to how much you've really forgiven yourself. So don't keep throwing the guilty problem back in your face. No more whining, no more crying and moping all around about it. If you're still doing that, it's a sign that you haven't really forgiven yourself. What an advantage it would be for us emotionally if we truly forgave ourselves. Forgive yourself and show your level of forgiveness by not allowing the past to control your life any longer. Let's briefly go back to page 3 in your workbook. Page 3 in your workbook. There are about 3 feelings of inadequacy that for us to really learn to get over them, we have to learn to accept them. I'll never be as good as so-and-so is the first one. We might not be as good as so-and-so, maybe due to a physical limitation or some other reason. If this is the case, wouldn't life be so much better if we could just accept things the way they are? It would be also to our advantage if we could accept the 5th feeling of inadequacy. If I am successful, people will judge me or think less of me. Now, people will judge you no matter what you do, rich or poor, happy or sad, fat or skinny. If a person can't accept the fact that people will judge or pass judgment on them because they are successful or they're becoming successful, odds are very good that they will sabotage their own success. They will allow the fact that they can't accept that others are going to judge them, and that's going to hinder their progress. That's a sad thing to allow to happen to us. The next feeling of inadequacy that we would benefit from by learning to accept is number 12. No one will notice or care if I better myself. No one will notice or care if I better myself. We might not be able to control the fact that people may not notice or care if we better ourselves. Put your tail between your legs or accept it. Which one? How depressing life can be if we can't accept this one. If it applies to you, your life will make a dramatic change by learning to accept this possibility. Now, here's something humorous that I think you might enjoy. Now, there's a Charlie Brown poster with Charlie Brown on it, and it reads, "Doing a good job around here is like wetting your pants in a dark suit. It gives you a warm feeling, but nobody notices." So think about that next time you do something that's really great and no one seems to notice. It would also serve us better if we use this principle of acceptance with regards to certain parts of our body that we can't change or that we don't like. Walk around with your tail between your legs or accept it. Accepting it makes life a lot more enjoyable. So don't forget to try your best to accept in life, past, present, or future, what you can't change or what won't change. Now let's spend a little time talking about what we can do when we have some of our bad days. We're going to have them. Unfortunately, I don't have nearly as many as I used to when I was going through all my problems and when I was working on trying to get out of this. And let me tell you, that is a very good thing. We're still on page 15 under Tricks and Tips for Dealing with the Bad Days. Perhaps the most important advice I can share with you to give you a boost or a lift when things aren't going right is to stay focused. Write it down. Stay focused. When you get stressed out and you allow other things and other people to bother you, you start to lose your focus. To keep your focus regularly, read your pages 1, 2, and 3. Keep feeding your mind with the right stuff. And I think in today's society, it's so designed to get us caught up in that rut and that routine. You know, we become like that little hamster who's active, accomplishing nothing, just running and running on that little wheel. I would recommend that you keep your pages 1 through 3 with you everywhere you go until it becomes a part of your automatic thinking. Perhaps you could transfer the information on them to an index card to make them more convenient to carry around. Make sure you go over this paperwork before you go to bed, and you definitely want to look at it first thing in the morning when you get up, and also throughout the day. This is how you stay focused. You know, as a pilot, before I plan a flight anywhere, I must, of course, figure out where I'm going. I must have a goal. You too must have a goal. And when I'm in that airplane and flying, I am constantly, not once in a while, but I am constantly looking at my instruments and making adjustments to stay on track. a little to the left, a little to the right, and I'll do this all the way to my destination. You too must constantly, not once in a while, but constantly look at your pages 1 through 3. Another thing to do here is also think about listening to this program often. I'd recommend you listen to it at least 3 or 4 times. Use it to motivate you. It's a positive program. Keep feeding the mind with positive things. You know, there's a saying that states, "Show me who your friends are, and I know who you are." Do you associate with positive people or people who are constantly complaining about their life? Because they don't have a life, all they do is gossip about everybody else. You know who that person is, don't you? It's probably the same person who's going to judge you or think less of you because of your success. I can remember when I was so mentally weak, I had to actually choose not to be with some of my friends and even family members. They would always cut me down, and at that time, I wasn't strong enough to mentally combat it. So I pulled away from them for a period of time. I even decided to sever some of my ties with a few so-called friends because I didn't care for their negative influence. They were like poison to my well-being. Well, what about those days that you feel like really throwing in the towel? I know you've never had some of those. But what I'm about to share with you, you can at least share with some of your friends, those who've had the bad days. Share it with them. Here we go. Fill in the blanks with me on this one. The law of inertia. I-N-E-R-T-I-A. The law of inertia. The law of inertia states that things that move want to keep moving. The law of inertia states that things that move want to keep moving. Now, I was taught this law when I learned to fly helicopters. The law of inertia again states that things that move want to keep moving. What would be the opposite of this, you think? Things that stop, stay stopped. Notice that the law doesn't say how fast we have to move. We just have to do what? We just have to move. So the next time you're down and out, repeat the law of inertia. And what does it say? I really think it's important that you learn it. Say it with me. Things that move want to keep moving. So the next time you feel depressed and bummed out, tell yourself that things that move want to keep moving. You don't have to move fast. You just have to move. So then what do? You just what? Yeah, you just move. Remember, it doesn't have to be fast. Do something small that once you do it, you can associate that specific action to you moving forward. Do some little thing that tells you that you haven't given up. Keep moving forward, even though it may be slow. Doesn't that make sense? If you maintain this attitude, as difficult as it may seem at times, something will trigger you to continue to keep moving, and you'll be able to do it even faster and with much ease the next time. One final thought on this subject of handling the bad days is to look at the big picture. Look at the big picture when confronted with problems. Fill in the blanks there. Look at the big picture when confronted with problems. More often than not, we have the tendency to focus on the problem at hand and we forget what our goals are. Our goals are the big picture. You'll really forget what your goals are if you don't have any. Try to look at your problems as something that can be solved. Don't get caught up in the negative emotion, but transfer your energies to solving the problem. If you don't, it will fester like gangrene, getting worse and worse and bigger and bigger. You will get caught in that rut and you'll forget that big picture. You'll forget your goals. So try to view your problems as bumps in the road on the journey of success. Yes, it's true that some are bigger than others, but staying focused, maintaining a positive attitude, and committing to succeed, you will continue to win. Well, we're just about to wrap up. Let's conclude with a review. Much of our review is going to be on page 16. When we started the program, we started it by discussing our past experiences that affect us today. Then we identified the positive ones. Our goal here was to understand how past experiences have programmed our present and future if we allow them. I hope you signed on page 2 in your workbook with regards to committing to not allowing other things and people to program you, but for you to choose what you want to affect your life and what you don't want to affect your life. Later, we found detailed feelings of inadequacies on page 3 of your workbook, which affect us. Don't forget to regularly evaluate yourself on pages 4 and/or 5. First, I had you write down on a scale from 1 to 10 as to how intense these feelings are, 10 remember being the highest score, and your goal is to apply your new knowledge from the program and work diligently on getting those numbers down, down, down. Then we got busy by using our 4-page process. By the way, in the back of your workbook, you'll see those 4 pages. You can cut them or tear them out, and I strongly recommend before you write on them that you photocopy them. This way you'll have the originals and you can keep using them again and again in the future. On page 1, we had you identify what your goal was. When you use these sample 4 pages to start changing your feelings of inadequacy, consider starting off by working on the ones that seem to most negatively affect your life. You may find that once you conquer one limited belief, you may automatically eliminate others without consciously thinking about it or working on them. Remember, having goals are great. They are a must to have, but if we don't have an incredibly strong reason or reasons why we must make change, your progress will be very slow, hardly measurable, and you'll probably fizzle out shortly. You must have a purpose. Remember Andrew's story? Don't forget his story. You'll have the determination to go through and ignore those feelings if your reasons for changing are strong enough. Perhaps the most important point to recall on your page 4, Limited Beliefs, is that for every belief we act on, we get a result. The reason that we have these limited feelings of inadequacy is because of our limited thoughts. Change our limited thoughts, and we change the result. We then identified the limited behaviors that we use to reward the limited beliefs. Don't forget to get a coach involved here, a husband, wife, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, mom, dad, neighbor, someone who can help you identify these limited patterns of behavior. Maybe there's something that you're doing that you're not even aware of. That's what your coach is there for. They're going to look out for you. Page 2 taught us that positive thinking is like spray paint on rust. It doesn't last long. But it's a start. It's better than negative thinking. The reason we refer to our empowering beliefs as positive thinking is because they are simply positive words. We don't believe them yet. There's the key. We need to also look for and create new behaviors, positive ones, that will reward our new positive words. This will be the most challenging page. We're going to lie or fake our new behavior. It's a lie because our what doesn't match our what. It's a lie because our feelings don't match our words. When they do, you will then know that the empowering words on page 2 are now more than just words. They are now empowering beliefs because we truly believe them when we say them. And don't forget, we have to ignore those negative feelings on page 4. They're going to attack you. What are at least 3 ways that we can ignore them? Remember, use positive words on page 2. Say them as if you mean them and make sure your body language is in harmony with the words. That's right, when my feelings are not in harmony with my goals, ignore my feelings. To really benefit from this program, you must also learn how to master your nervous system. The nervous system, recall, can't tell the difference between imagination and reality. Train your nervous system first before going out into the real world and doing any of your exercises. This is how you can mentally prepare yourself for the battle. What battle? The page 4 battle. When you try implementing page 2, page 4 is going to attack you and try to attack you hard. Defend it quickly using the nervous system by training it with everything on your page 2. By all means, don't ever forget that feelings change last. If you don't consciously keep that in mind, you'll end up right back on page 4 and you don't want to do that. If we hang in there long enough, though, we're going to experience those new feelings. That's what page 3 is all about. Set your goal and get it done. Don't forget to write in great detail the new positive experience. Write down enough detail so that if you were to read what you wrote down a year from now, you would actually be able to relive the experience and the feelings. We are specifically concerned about logging and tracking feelings. The reason we have these negative feelings of inadequacy is because we've been tracking and keeping a mental log of them. All of our past experiences keep creeping up and programming us over and over and making things worse and worse. Only put positive experiences down on page 3 and your page 2 will become more and more believable as you conquer your goals. Then there was our 5-step process that we went over to really clean out some of the negative junk or cobwebs in our past. One thing you might consider if you choose to do this exercise is to let that offender know that his actions or her actions have caused you to feel all those negative feelings of inadequacy. Then read them off to them one by one. Well, friends, this is going to wrap up our program. No doubt we've been focusing pretty extensively on ourselves, improving and changing our negative feelings to positive ones. But one of the greatest ways to do that, too, is also to think about others. So while you're working on doing something for you, make sure you do something for somebody else. Well, I hope you have really enjoyed doing this program with me. I truly wish you the very best. Don't give up. Go forward. And yes, it will be challenging at times, but don't forget that things that move want to keep moving. And as long as you keep moving, oh yes, you will have your cake and eat it too.